Forstår Henrik, at dirigerer. Don't you ask who is going to be doing exploits for Jesus this year? Who is going to be doing exploits? Because what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you a bench press. Benchmark today. Hallelujah. Hudson Taylor. Supernatural people.
Amen.
Born again by a supernatural God.
Amen.
Do you know that you're born again by the Spirit of the living God?
Amen.
And he goes further and says, but we are kept by a supernatural power, sustained on supernatural food. Our food is the Word of God. The Bible said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And then he goes on, he said, taught by a supernatural teacher from a supernatural book. The supernatural teacher is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says the Spirit of God leads us into all truth. And we're kept by a supernatural book because the book that we have is the words of the living God.
Amen.
He has given us his words. And he continued and he said, and we are led by a supernatural captain and right paths to assured victories. See, Jesus never loses any victory. He is always triumphant. He's always overcoming. In Acts chapter 4, 31, it says, and when he had prayed, the place was shaken very rare, assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. It's good to speak God's word and being bold and declaring the truth of God's word. In the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that the Spirit of God was in it for, and it was a rushing mighty wind, and it tells us that it was powerful and it impacted the people. And through the preaching of Peter, there were 3,000 people added to the church in that one day. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 6:10, to thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will shall be done on this earth. You want to know the end, read the book. The authority is already established in heaven to be released on this earth. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 7, and this is when Philip went down into Samaria and said, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. You know, when there's deliverance flowing and people are getting delivered and healed and set free from all kinds of bondages, great joy comes. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. But notice what it says then. In verse 6, before these two verses, it says, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. The people heard the word of God and they saw the demonstration of the word of God and they believed and they were converted. And the Bible says, great joy was in that city. Now, and we go to Luke chapter 4, verse 25, because I'm going to speak today from a person from the Old Testament. But to put it in context, Luke chapter 4, 25, it said, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, gave unto Seneca a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elias, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving David the Syrian. And when Jesus spoke these words at Nazareth, people were offended. What was the catalyst for the offense? And that was Jesus mentioning two prophets, Elijah and Elisha, and both of these prophets were sent to a Gentile. And the people responded in anger at that. Same thing happened to Apostle Paul in Acts 22. So we're going to speak today about the person who does not have a name, who is insignificant to the world, but is the person who is the catalyst for Naaman being healed of leprosy. Now we need to have a background, because we need to know the background that this insignificant lady is brought up in, because you might be able to identify with what's going on today. But 2 Kings 5:2 says, "And the Syrians have gone out by companies and have brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife." So we're used to hearing about Naaman. We're used to hearing about the instructions given to him to dip into the river Jordan 7 times, and how he was so angry at the prophet. "Why should I dip in there?" And the servant says, "Just do it. Just do it and see if it happens." And so he dipped himself into the Jordan and he was cleansed of his leprosy. So this is the background to the day in which she lived. It begins with Solomon introducing idols into Israel. And the result of Solomon introducing idols into Israel was God split the kingdom between Judah and the rest of the 10 tribes. And in 1 Kings 11:27 to 40, you're going to read about the call of Jeroboam. Jeroboam was somebody who worked for Solomon. But the prophet Ahijah prophesies over Jeroboam that the kingdom would be split and that he would be king. And Solomon heard this one, and Solomon tried to kill him. This great man with all his wisdom, this great man who had these encounters with the living God, had come to a place where he was so far away. When he heard the word of what this man was going to be raised up, he tried to kill him. Now, I did preach one time a sermon called "You Could Be Wiser Than Solomon." Because Solomon done two evils. One was he set up the idols.
Yes.
He set up the idols for all the nations round about him. And he went after this man to murder him. He set up the idols for the Amorites. If you go back into history and you look at one of the places where the Amorites were, and when they came and excavated the place, what did they find? They had the charred remains of heads of young children. They had charred remains of young girls cut in two. They had all of these things. And, when they excavated it, they wrote and then identified it with the worship of Amorites, and God hated these things. And so Solomon introduced all this wickedness, and the word of God came to Jeroboam. But you've got the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. See, even though God comes and God said, "I'm going to take you, I'm going to raise you up and be king over these tribes, and if you follow me, I will establish your kingdom." Who listens to God? Whoever listens to the Lord? You know, you go through the scriptures, and this is one of the things which time and time and time again you find. They're not listening to the Lord. They're not being, in one of the verses of scriptures I came across that said, "Yeah, in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God." A verse from Deuteronomy. So people get the word from God, and they don't believe the words from God. So the son of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, 1 Kings 12:24. When Israel was going to go back to war, they were told, you don't fight each other. You don't go up, you don't fight against the children of Israel. And you cannot believe the word of the Lord once it became king. So you've got Jeroboam and you've got Rehoboam. But notice, God gave this man a promise to become a king and rule over his 10 kingdoms, the 10 tribes of Israel. What did he do? He set up 2 golden calves. One he set up in Bethel, and the other he set up in Dan. Not only that, the Bible says that became a sin, but he made priests of the lowest people. So there were no Levites who were priests. He took off the lowest, the basis of people, and they made them priests. He made the house of high places, and in verse 8 he said, he devised priests of his own heart. After getting the word of God, being told that he will be king, and the God will establish his throne, what is it? He brings in all the idols. He brings in all the idolatry, and he continues in the way of Solomon. And then you go to chapter 13, you find that there was a prophet who comes from speak to him. And he prophesies that Josiah would be a future king of Judah, what he would do. And the reaction of the other born was he stretched out his hand to get this prophet. And the Bible says as he stretched out his hand, his hand dried up. And the prophet says, this altar here will be cast down as well. And so Jeroboam, he asks the prophet to pray for him, or to intercede, and he gets his hand restored again. So here we have a man who's told he's going to get a kingdom. He sets up the idols. God withers his hand and restores it, and yet he still carries on not believing in the Lord and going his wicked way. And the Bible said he did evil, he walked the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and made my people to, and Israel to sin. And by the time Ahab took the throne, because Ahab was one of the wickedest kings Israel ever had, it says this in 1 Kings 16:31. And it came to pass, if it had been a lifetime for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And the idolatry and the corruption was so pervasive, it was just like a light thing to Ahab to have. And so you've got this generation, this generation from Solomon, the gods followed his wife. The gods been set up in Bethel and Dan, and Ahab comes along. And over this time period, Syrians made raids on Israel, and the Bible says a little maid was taken captive. We don't know her name. We don't know anything about her. But this is one thing we learn from Scripture. She was faithful when her society turned away from the living God. Corruption was everywhere. Perversion was everywhere in the temples of Ahab and Jezebel. Worshipping idols. Sacrificing. And she remained faithful in the midst of everything that was going on. She's unknown, she's insignificant. Nobody knows anything about her. She was somebody who was poor. She's brought up in the land of Samaria. And by this time, Samaria has reached its lowest point under Ahab with such wickedness. The golden calves are still in the land. The worship of Baal is now prominent. And she's living in the midst of idolatry. But this maid worships Jehovah. We're living in the midst of idolatry. Nobody believes the word of God. Everybody's running after all the various things of the world, the corruptions, and worship the created instead of the creator. She is one who has been found faithful when everybody else turned and gave up. The second thing, she was a captive in Syria. So it's not known what happened to her parents. We don't know if her parents were killed. We don't know if they were too old to be taken captive. We know nothing about her family. But here's the remarkable thing about her. She does not demonstrate any bitterness towards God for her captivity. There's no bitterness against God for what happens. See, when you realize judgment comes because of sin, God still protects his people in the midst of judgment. She does not demonstrate disappointment. She's not accusing God of forsaking her. She's not asking, where were you, God, when the sins came into your life and took me captive? And look what's happened to my parents. Where have you been when all my friends, this has happened and everything's been destroyed and our villages have been brought, raised to the ground? She's not asking any of these questions. She knows who she's put her trust in. And she's standing in the midst of idolatry and wickedness, and she still holds on to the one true and faithful God. But you know, she had boldness of faith. In 2 Kings 5:3 it says, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Think about it. She's in Syria, she's in this captivity, and she's saying, if my Lord, if you would go and see the prophet, he'll be healed of leprosy.
Amen.
When did you ever read of the prophet healing anybody of leprosy? There's no account of anybody being healed of leprosy.
No.
But yet you've got this little maid, she's declaring in the midst of all the idolatry, you go and see the prophet. And you'll be healed. So the question is, what exploits are you going to do this year that's not written, that's not been done before? She had anything to stand on. Apart from the fact that she knew of God, and she knew that there was a prophet of God. But she knew that if he, this Naaman goes to see the prophet, he'll be cleansed of his leprosy. That's her confidence in God. And look at the conditions she's living in. Idolatry everywhere. Corruption everywhere. The legal system corrupt. Every system you look at corrupt. The worship to idols, the sacrifice to idols. Nothing's changed. Except God.
Amen.
He remains the same forever.
Amen.
And in the midst of such wickedness, she could say, I wish Naaman would go and see the prophet. If he would only do that, he would be healed of leprosy. Now that's faith, and that's boldness.
Amen.
She's put her leg in the life. She's not, there's not one case that the prophet ever healed anybody, was used by God to heal anybody of leprosy. But she declared her God was Jehovah, and for him all things are possible.
Amen.
And so she's an unsung hero. She's putting her life at risk. And as we say, what's so remarkable about us, her boldness in declaring what the prophet would do for Naaman if he would just go and speak to him. So we need to have boldness. The Bible talks about the people who do exploits for their God. And the thing about doing exploits is that the conditions that prevail in society are not an excuse for not doing anything. And the conditions that prevail in society does not stop God from moving and doing miracles.
Yeah.
Amen.
God works in all conditions. Nothing can stop the Lord from doing miracles. Because nothing can stop God from saving people, from healing people, from delivering people, from giving people God encounters, no matter who's opposing God. The people who oppose God will take responsibility for the people who have turned away from God, and they'll stand before a righteous and holy God and give an account. And they will pay the price. The Bible says there's appointed one, I'll answer that, and then the judgment. Everybody has an appointment before the living God. Nobody is going to escape. But in the conditions that we live in today, we have an example of somebody who we know nothing about, standing for God and seeing the miracles of God taking place. Because Naaman did eventually go and see the prophet. And Naaman did went to the Jordan and dipped 7 times as commanded by the prophet. And he was cleansed from all his leprosy.
Amen.
A testimony to the living God. That's what happened with Daniel before Nebuchadnezzar. Because after God gave him all the dreams and that Daniel did, Nebuchadnezzar writes his whole kingdom, there's only one God. Naaman learned that day there is only one God that can cleanse from leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was God to hope with. And so we have a supernatural God. So we don't want bitterness to take root within us, because that changes and comes against all our expectations of seeing God moving. But in the moral corruption that we see today and all the idolatry, God still does miracles.
Yes.
And God will honour the least person when they stand firm upon his word. Scripture says heaven and earth is going to pass away. His word will endure forever. And so we stand today on the word of God. And we give praise and honour to the one upon the throne. And we say that today, let us take up the baton and let's say, Lord, we want to do exploits for you. Lord, what things have not happened yet that you would need somebody to do is going to be different. This lady, nobody had you leprosy. There must be things that you've never seen happen. Maybe there are certain diseases we've never seen God heal. Let us take up the baton and say, doesn't matter what's happening around us, God is greater, he is bigger, and nothing can stop him. And when we do exploits for God, there is a witness left in people's lives that there is only one who can heal, can save, deliver, and destroy, and make all things new.
Yeah.
And his name is Jesus. So Father, this morning, we pray that the Spirit of the living God will start to quicken each life here, to put our trust completely in the Word of God and in Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that there will be a quickening in our spirits, Lord, for exploits, Lord, will bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, that we will see things this year and experience things, Father, that we've never seen or experienced before. And that we will see Jesus glorified here in Livingston, the West Lothian, and that we will come at the end of this year with the testimonies, just like this young maid, of what God has done. Because we know whom we have put our trust in today. And so, Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit quicken your word into our hearts and into our lives for your glory, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.